had a little emergency this morning. We had no power, so we were all set up in the fellowship hall to do it without power. But we had it all figured out, but so we're thankful to be back with power. So it's July, and we kind of wanted to stay with the patriotic theme a little bit. So we picked songs about our love for God, for our country, and for our neighbors. So it's kind of a little mix of everything. So join in. This land is your land.
This land is your land. In the air-conditioned and lighted comfort of our sanctuary. As much as we were kind of having fun there for, for a moment. But of course, as usual, a few announcements before we begin. I know sign-ups are up, as we mentioned last week, for the beef and corn feed, which is coming up at the end of this month. So please keep that in mind, both for attending, but also if you are able to help in some way. I know they're just out in the entryway there. So. Of course, we are continuing on in our centennial little mini fundraisers with our big centennial celebration on August 11th, fast approaching. This month, of course, is sponsored by the music and worship folks, I believe, for our raffle this month. So there's a gift card, I think there's some musical items, and I believe this is also the month where you can win the opportunity for next month to pick all the hymns for one of the Sundays. So. If you always wanted to have musical control over the service, that'll be your chance. Within some measure of reason, but like I said, I'm not going to be there that Sunday, so go wild. Anyway. Let's see here. Food donations. It looks like Mary put in a reminder with Amazon Prime coming up that if you are planning on spending some money on Amazon, that you can do it while also supporting your church. So, it's like Zion Lutheran is doing a golf outing. Let's see what else is in there. Looks like there's something for Habitat for Humanity. Please keep that in mind. They do a lot of great work. I know we're also talking, I haven't mentioned this, I guess, to anyone yet, but now I'm just remembering. So we are thinking of, in September, of joining in with some of our Aiken area churches. They're doing a service day. So I know we'll have more information about that forthcoming, but we're talking about doing that one of the first, I think, Saturdays in September. So, anything else that people have to mention at this time? I know we did get a note this morning. Those that may remember Don Elliott, a former member of the church, he has passed away. So prayers go out to his family, along with a number of our other prayers this morning for folks in our church who are in need of God's loving help at this time. And certainly prayers of thanksgiving for, on behalf of the people of New Orleans and Louisiana, that the hurricane was downgraded. Certainly didn't do the damage that has been done in the past in that area. If there's not anything else, I'll let the praise band continue to take it away. I'll go back in my hole.
Our next song is God Bless America.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy,
we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news.
Amen.
O Lord God,
your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Our anthem is All of My Life, and so this is about living life abundantly in Christ, helping those around us.
Our first and main reading this morning is Psalm 40, verses 1 through 10, and we will read it responsively, and I will get us started. The psalm begins. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He drew
me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire,
but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.
I delight to do your will, O my God.
Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have
hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
Please rise as you are able for our gospel. And our gospel response this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The gospel begins. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What a great psalm for a praise band Sunday, right? Sing a new song to the Lord. That's half of what we do, right, is sing new songs, stretch our comfort zones a little bit. Not that we've actually sung some pretty old ones to begin with, but often in a new context, right? That's often the joy of singing songs, of kind of taking them, especially I think in a church context, of seeing God working even in songs that were once maybe a little bit more pop songs, and seeing the way that God works through even things that we might otherwise consider in the secular realm of existence. So here we have our fourth part in our five-part psalm series, and now we are singing a new song. We have rounded a corner. We began with joy, and then we found sorrow, and then we had still sorrow, but we were more defiant in the face of that sorrow last week. We were confident, or at least beginning to be confident, that the Lord was going to act in our case, that God was watching, that God was caring, and God will soon be here to help us. And now we've rounded a corner, and now God has helped us. We are singing a new song. God has worked in our life. God has delivered us out of the miry bog, right? When we were on the sorrow, that was the imagery we used as well. We were stuck in the mud. The water was rising up to our neck. Now God has us out of the slurpy kind of mud and planted us safely on solid ground. We may have lost a shoe along the way, but we are safe. We are doing good, and we are giving thanks. Our eyes are open. Our ears are open. And our hearts are glad. We're filled with praise. And it's just bursting forth from us. Of course, one thing I love, as always, with the Bible is there is a little bit of complexity to it. One of the first things, if we did understand Hebrew, and my Hebrew has mostly fled from me, but according to my studies in the Bible, and people who know Hebrew far better and paid more attention in Hebrew class than I did, it starts off right at the beginning with one thing that is fairly common in Hebrew. When they want to emphasize things, they double it. So at the very beginning of our psalm today, it doesn't just say, I waited for the Lord, or I hoped that the Lord was going to help. It doubles it. So it's like hoping, I hoped that the Lord had answered me, or waiting, I waited for the Lord, right? So it's not just I waited patiently, it's I waited and waited, and then the Lord helped me, which maybe sounds a bit goofy, and yet maybe it also sounds really accurate to when we have to wait for the Lord, where maybe patiently is a very optimistic way to look at how the psalmist, the author, was waiting for God. Maybe it wasn't so much patiently as that sort of, you know, skin-crawling, antsy, knee-shaking, waiting for the Lord to deliver me, you know, that this was the kind of salvation that came, that it came, but oh man, I was on edge the whole time. You know, as I said, 2 weeks ago, we were stuck in that mud, the water is beginning to rise, and you can imagine in that state, I wasn't just patiently waiting, right, you know, as the water comes up to your head, I was patiently waiting for God to come and help me in the midst of the rising waters. That's how often we wait for God, a little bit less than patiently. And of course, what happens after the fact sometimes is we are not necessarily bursting forth in song. We make it through. We are grateful that God has helped us, but we're a bit shaken, aren't we? We're better, but we're not quite better yet. Maybe our physical wounds have healed, but emotionally we're still struggling. We get shaken by illness. We get nervous that something might happen again, whether it's a physical illness or emotional, or maybe we're just accompanying someone else who's struggling through it. We just aren't quite fully healed yet. And I think that's one thing, too, that our gospel very helpfully also lifts out, is this nature of healing in the human condition. I mean, we have the story of the gospel is right there. There are these 10 men, and they've all been suffering from some sort of skin disease, leprosy, or something similar. They've been, you know, and we know that especially in that day and age, there was a lot of stereotypes. I mean, there probably is still today. If we saw someone covered with boils, we may not necessarily sit super close to them. I assume that's not why you guys are sitting so far apart right now. But no, I mean, it's these things. We know that sometimes we, against what we know we shouldn't do, are nervous of people who are ill. You know, if someone's coughing and sneezing, right, we maybe do the fist bump or the wave on a Sunday morning during the passing of the peace. And far worse for these men. But now Jesus is healed. They've called very, you know, politely to Jesus from far off. And Jesus is like, it's okay, you're healed, you know. Go to the priests, get clean. But now that they've been healed, only one man comes back. The Samaritan of all people, as we've talked about in the past, right? The Samaritans were a very similar group of people just to the north of Israel proper. Very much also Israel at one point in time, I think, is today part of Israel. And their faith differed just a little bit. You know, this is kind of like the Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland. That there was a lot of hatred there, but really in the grand scheme of things, not that different. But it is this Samaritan of all people who returns, who thanks Jesus, who falls down literally on his face in thanks, in gratitude to Jesus. And Jesus says to him that his faith, that very faith that all the other Israelites might be judging him for, has made him well. Now, of course, I think we can still be confident that after the other men were healed, that they stayed healed, right? Jesus wasn't like, well, these other schmucks didn't show up to give me some thanks, so now you have double leprosy, right? You know, we assume Jesus wasn't probably vindictive like that. So why the extra note to this one man that his faith has made him well? I guess maybe Jesus is just saying, your faith made you well. The rest of these guys just got by on my good graces, right? But maybe it's also something a little deeper than that. That the rest of those people were healed, right? They were physically cured of their disease. But it's this one man overflowing with faith and love and gratitude for Jesus who has been made well. Not just in his body, but in his mind and in his spirit. That maybe those other men have been wounded, and it's going to take them a little bit more time. Wounded in their spirits. Wounded in a way that they are struggling to trust again. That maybe even wounded by all these people that have been judging them for their disease all this time. But this one man has had the faith and the hope and the trust that, and the acknowledgement that God is with him. That Jesus walks among him, that God will look out for him, that no matter what comes down the road, he can live in that confidence and hope that Jesus will be there for him again. That is the healing, the wellness that is flowing up within him and has truly transformed his life beyond just whatever physical ailment that he's faced. And so he is now ready to sing a new song. The fog is lifted, the eyes and ears are open, and the world looks new. You know, I didn't think to pull it up for today, especially with everything going on earlier, but the band U2 actually has a version of Psalm 40. You'll have to look it up, where they, you know, they sing a new song. But one thing that's missing from the U2 version and isn't exactly clear, again, you know, those great Hebrew scholars pointing out something helpful, is that great, you know, there's a lot of great verses in Psalm 40, but one that's a little hidden is verse 6, when it talks about the ears being opened, which is a nice enough translation of it. But supposedly what they're really trying to translate there is an ancient Hebrew expression that we're not entirely sure how it works, because it doesn't appear anywhere else in the Bible. But the literal translation of it is that the psalm writer's ears have been dug out or hollowed out. You know, I was thinking of, what is it, on the Sistine Chapel, there's that famous painting of, you know, God and man kind of almost pointing, you know, their fingertips touching. This is like God kind of taking that finger and just kind of stick it in his ear and, like, you know, getting the wax out of his ears, right? The man's ears have been hollowed out, and now he can literally hear God. Like, you know, if you've ever had a cold or bad allergies and your ears finally pop, it's this sense that now this ailment is gone, the wax has been expunged out by the work of God, and now he can finally hear clearly with new ears. And I think that's just as important, right, as part of our healing process and our recovery process and the renewal that God brings, that it's not just that our sickness is gone, it's that it really is new eyes. You know, I think of the scales, and one of the times when Jesus heals a blind man, right, like scales fall from his eyes, and now here the wax has just been popped out of his ears, and now he can hear fully the goodness of God. He trusted it before, even when he couldn't quite hear it clearly, but now renewal has come. God's love is hitting him full force. The beauty of the world is all around him, like getting new glasses too. If those that wear glasses, right, you get that new pair of glasses after a long time, and it's like, oh my gosh. One, you realize you probably need to clean a lot better in your house, right? But two, also, like, oh my goodness, like the colors, the definition, it's amazing. They even have those glasses now that are supposed to help fix people's color blindness. And there's videos online of people like, oh my gosh, I can see all these colors I couldn't before. So someday I'll have to go and get a pair myself. And maybe Val can videotape me and we can just be like, the world, all these colors I wasn't seeing in their full richness. This is this moment in this man's life, in the psalm writer's life, in the man who comes back to Jesus. There's new colors, there's new sounds that are just amazing to him. And I think that's what we pray for in our own lives as well. That we are, when we are in these difficult moments, when we are in these times of darkness and lament and sadness, and when we're just clinging by the skin of our teeth, when we can barely believe in a better, brighter future, that this renewal will come to us. Beyond any physical healing, that this spiritual healing will come upon us. That we will be filled with a new song on our lips. And of course, that's the beauty of music, isn't it? That it can help capture things that we can hardly express in ordinary conversation. That combination of words and music and everything, that it just, it tells that story for us. And I think, too, the other beauty of music is then we can capture that moment. And when we can no longer remember, when it's no longer an actual lived reality, we still have that music that we can sing, that'll help, that we can cling to in our darker moments, this memory of brighter times, that we can share it with others in their difficult times. You know, it's one of the great tools of ministry that we have is music. And to continue on telling this new story in our presence. And we're, you know, it's especially good for us Lutherans, because we're not good, you know, like the Baptists or Evangelicals, Methodists. You know, they do a better job of doing testimony, right? Of coming up and telling my own personal story of faith. We probably should do more of that here. If you have a story of faith you'd like to share in whatever form you'd like to share it, whether if you want to come up on a Sunday morning or you want to tell it in a newsletter or in some other, or on Facebook. I know Val would be excited to put you on Facebook with your story of faith. We should do a better job of telling our stories. But until then, as Lutherans, we'll rely on our love for music to tell this new story. But these kinds of reflections of seeing God in our midst, they're better than any sermon out there. So let us give thanks this morning to God. Let us give thanks to the power crews of the world, so that we can sing our new songs in air conditioning and amplification. But we give thanks to God that when we are stuck in that bog, when we are stuck in the mud with the waters rising up to our neck, that not only does God get us out from there, but that God helps us see the world in a new way. You know, when we are too consumed by the struggle of life, by all the things that are coming at us, that God works in our lives to give us hope so that our eyes are opened, the wax is pulled out of our ears, and on our lips and in our mouths are the beginning words of a new song. Amen.
Thank you.
Please rise as you're able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day he rose again. He descended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For the Church, steadfast and faithful in its mission to proclaim redemption through Jesus Christ, for all ministers of the gospel who proclaim that the word is near, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For areas affected by drought or storms, for livestock and fields, for ranchers and farmers, and for all stewards of the earth, that as God's goodness is revealed in creation, we act with justice toward all creatures. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For lawyers and advocates, for local, regional, and national governments, and for peace throughout the world, that God send gracious and upright leaders to govern with mercy and truth. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who feel ashamed, for those who find it difficult to trust, for the bereaved and sick, that God provide compassionate and loving caregivers to all who suffer. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the members of the body of Christ in this place, for those who do good works in our midst, for those who are visiting and those who are absent, that the Holy Spirit guide all the journeys of our lives. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Good and gracious God, we offer up additional prayers this morning. We remember in prayer Jerry Becker. Please be with him in this difficult time and be with his family and friends and all those who care for him. We pray for Ted and for Gary, for Marlon, for Jerry Morris, for Char, for Donna, for Cheryl and Dean. We pray for the family of Don Elliott as they mourn his passing. And we pray a word of thanksgiving for safety from the hurricane in New Orleans, that you might be with all people, O God, facing difficult natural disasters. Be with all those that make preparations for safety. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. For our ancestors who have inspired us by their lives of faith, that thankful for their witness, we can confidently proclaim our salvation, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. May we see you.
This next song is sung to the tune of My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Right.
God invites you to this table of bounty. Come, the banquet is ready. All are welcome. You may be seated. Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving, and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, Christ is sending you.
Thanks be to God.
Our last song is What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. Those of you that were in Sunday DBS this summer will recognize that we're using the version. So the words are up here. There's a little bit more embellishment, but basically all you got to keep singing is I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning.
Can they dance?
Sure, we can dance.